And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meat podcast with Davey Ruskin and Mickey Brennan. Mickey Brennan with a full night, Davey. His stuff we went full of biscuits just before we started that. But we'll get there. We've a bit to get through. The hurlers are out this weekend. Meat footballers are out next weekend. So are the Camogues. So are the ladies footballers. Not only that, but the club competitions are starting back. You'd be delighted to know, Davey.
Yeah, very exciting, Mickey, as you throw another biscuit into the mouth. You know you're happily retired now. Most of us are trying to stay away from the biscuits, but you're really rubbing it in. Fair juice to you. It's been an extended break, actually. Normally, we'd actually have we'd have most of the group stages of the Cup done and dusted by now. At the end of January, it normally starts. So it's nice having the extra break. I know a lot of teams have been playing challenge matches over the last couple of weeks, but it's still coming around quite quick, and I think everybody's looking forward to getting back to it.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of which, we'll be coming to that in just a couple of moments' time. We're going to start with the Meath hurlers. They were out this weekend. In fact, the game is not long over because we're recording early on the Sunday. Davey, Meath hurlers 116, Carlow 322, played in Netwatch Cullen Park in Division 2A of the Hurling League. Not a game we would have expected them to be winning, 31 points to 19, a 12-point win for Carlow. But I wouldn't be losing faith or anything like that. We spoke about this last week. This is kind of bonus territory. They'll be pitting themselves against the likes of your Kerrys and your Downs and your Kildares in this division because there are a couple of outliers in it.
Ah, yeah, like, look, Carlow are going to play Liam McCarthy this year, having won the Joe McDonagh, so they're expected to do this to most teams, you know, in the competition, and they did a bit of a job on me in the end. It was tight for most of the first half, actually. Nicky Potterton got a goal, which sort of got Meade back into the game and got them level midway through the first half, but Carlow made a move towards half-time and got themselves into a really strong position, and kicked on then after half time, and I suppose Meath did well enough in keeping it respectable for quite a number of minutes in that second half, and they kept plugging away. I think Padraig O'Hanrahan finished with 10 points, and the positives you pick from it is Shawnee Martin hit another 3 points from play, and there were also another goal for Nicky Potterton. He's got 3 in 2 games now, so there's certainly positives to pick from it. There was more. Like debutants, I suppose. Like Paul Kelly made his first league start for Meath. Mickey Burke came in for his first start of the league campaign and his 202nd game in all for Meath. So he continues to deliver. But like you say, Mickey, I don't think Shorshall will lose too much sleep about this. He'll look at the test more so than anything and what they'll get out of it. They have Kerry to come next. They have a game against Down. They still have to play Laois. Those are the type of games that are probably more realistic to be targeting points from than an away day to Carlow. But one win from the first 2 weeks, I think, all in all, you'd have taken that hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it already. Their next game is away to Kerry in 2 weeks' time on the 25th, Sunday the 25th, Austin Stack Park, 2 p.m. Not usually a happy hunting ground for the Meath hurlers. I don't think they like that long trip down to the south. West of the country.
No, it's normally a real graveyard, isn't it, for Meath hurling teams down through the years. Even Tralee hasn't been a happy hunting ground either. But Kerry aren't going well. They were beaten again at the weekend. Second consecutive loss for them. I think Down did a job on them on Saturday night. So probably not a bad time to be going down there to play them, actually. They don't seem to have that X factor that they maybe had in recent years. And Meath have improved since. So That should be a pretty evenly contested game. Now, it's always difficult to get points on the road, but I think there's more of a chance of me getting something from that than there was, obviously, the trip to Carlow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we wish Shorsha and the lads the very best luck. Another chance as well over the next 2 weeks to get some players back, maybe, and get some training done, because, as you said, this is just a dress rehearsal for the actual championship this year. So there's nothing to fear, no relegation or anything, but they want to put their best foot forward and learn what's their best team going to be. And yeah, so very best luck to Shorsha and the lads. Just sticking with the Sticks, the Camogues are out next Saturday at 2 p.m. in Trim. Neely Cole's Meath Camogie team will be taking on the near neighbours, Cavan. That's Saturday the 17th. And they'll be getting their campaign underway, David.
Yeah, they will, and it'll be a real new look Meath team. Quite a number of players haven't obviously returned, and there's been some more inclusions too. But Neely's coming in first game under his stewardship. They've played a number of challenge matches over the last few weeks, and I think they'll be well primed and ready to go here. It's a game that they definitely should be winning. But it's a banana skin. You know a bit about Cavan, Mickey, and I think they've made good strides in recent times too. So I don't think there'll be any hint of complacency from this Meath team going into it. They'll want a professional performance and get a win under the belt and start the whole thing moving again.
Has there been more fluctuation in the off-season with the Camogues? I know, like, obviously last year, at the beginning of the year, massive amount of players didn't come back in, and Brendan Skeaton had a big job there last year, did fantastically well. Have we had the same again this summer or this winter?
Yeah, there is a bit of that. Like, there's still 11 clubs represented across the panel, but there are a few names that probably haven't come back or you know, rejoin the panel or whatever. But like, you still have a strong contingent from the big clubs like Kildare, and in particular Nafina. You know, they still have 6 or 7 reps from each of them. So that's positive to see. And obviously the manager wants to put his own stamp on it too. So, you know, we'll look forward to seeing what they're about. But it does look like a pretty youthful team all around.
And have we lost any of our big names, we'll say household names?
No, the likes of Claire Coffey, Leah Devine, Amy Gaffney, Maeve Clintz, Ellen Burke, you know, they're still there. Maggie Randall, obviously. So Grace Coleman, they've still got the cohort of the, you know, the main girls there, which is positive to see. And I'm sure that he'll be looking to try and build a team around those players.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they kick off this year's campaign, as we said, next Saturday at 2 p.m. in Trim. Neely Cole will be getting their Camogie League underway. It's a standalone fixture, which is great to see, because the next two don't stand alone. They stand at the same time. It's the Meath ladies and the Meath men in the football. So on Sunday at 2 p.m. in Park Tolchin, it's going to be Meath versus Louth. At the same time in Dunamore Athlone, the Meath ladies will be taking on Armagh. Two crunch matches for both teams, and probably for different reasons.
In a nutshell, Mickey, we would have hoped that both of them would be playing at different times on the same day in the same venue, but for the same goal as well. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We know that the ladies are purring at the moment. They're absolutely flying, aren't they? And that represents another brilliant opportunity for them to keep their 100% record in tow. It'll be a difficult test, obviously, against a really good Armagh side, but one that I'm sure they'll relish on the back of the recent results and the performances as well, actually, Mickey. Like, that's probably been the biggest thing from a Meath standpoint. Their performances have been really, really good and consistent. They're putting up big scores in that. But yeah, no, it's all systems go for next Sunday for them. And obviously for the Meath lads, we know the significance of that game. But it's a massive game against Louth. Louth obviously had our number in the league last year. They'll come to Navan confident again on the back of their result against Cork. They picked up an O'Byrne Shield over the weekend as well, for what it's worth, against Wicklow. I think they played most of their fringe players in that one. But they'll come tails up. Remarkably, I think Meath, they're somehow still favourites for the game, only marginally though. In a lot of people's eyes, Louth probably should come to town the favourites, but it's one that you still feel, if Meath turn up and play like we know they can, there's absolutely nothing to fear in this. But that's the if, and we've I think it's safe to say now that Jack Flynn has actually stepped away from the panel in the last week as well. So that's some massive news. You're after giving me the Thierry Henry look when Brendan Rodgers was sacked and Jamie Redknapp was saying you're just putting your hand on the knee. Yeah, he's left the panel, I believe. So that's a hammer blow because he's a man that's obviously played in the start in the last two games, and he was man of the match in the Tarleton final only last, what was it, July. So that's a big one. And
is there any reasoning?
I haven't heard of a reason. No, I haven't heard of a reason. But
don't be throwing bombshells like that on me. Tell me these things before we start recording the podcast. When you know something like that, I just need to pick myself up off the floor here.
I didn't think you'd take it so bad. But yeah, and look at it is what it is. He'll be a big loss, but I suppose it represents an opportunity like for somebody like maybe Keane McBride to step into that breach and try and form a partnership with Ronan Jones, or maybe Doughty McGowan could drop into midfield and that. But he will leave a void. As we said, he was probably one of the players that we talked about last week that we kind of highlighted that wasn't maybe going too well. But we knew there was gears in Jack Flynn, and for whatever reason, he's decided to pull rank and is no longer part of the panel.
Someone will have to do homework on that one. I'm really disappointed at that one. Going back to the game though, Meath still slight favourites. I can't understand that. Maybe like obviously the bookies do look at past history and stuff like that. And then they take in a whole cohort of different things before they give the odds. But that's an interesting one. Because Loud have pretty much a settled team and have had a settled team for the last couple of years, a couple of new players coming in and out and whatever, but we do know what they're going to be bringing. Similar to a lot of the time early on last year, we don't know what me they're bringing. We don't know who they're bringing. We don't know, you know, what jerseys they're bringing. You know, like it's just, it's a very hard Meath team to evaluate at the moment.
Yeah, and this is going to be a defining game one way or another because we talked about it last week. We feel this game could potentially be the game that maybe turns the season for us for the better, hopefully, with winnable games to come. By the same token, if you lose, you have absolutely no margin for error. You're staring down the barrel of a relegation and it'll be all doom and gloom if Loud come to Navan and get 2 points again, you know. So that's the significance of it. We just don't know. We just don't know what Meath will turn up. Look, the fact that they've had 2 weeks off and we know that there's only three players that have kind of, as expected, Manute dropped out of the Sigerson Cup during the week. So there's only the three lads, Lynchy,
Moriarty.
And Moriarty. And I think Moriarty actually went off with a knock last week in that Sigerson game, playing quite beautifully. I think he kicked four unbelievable points, and Lynchy looked bright as well, so which was good. But what I'm getting at, sorry, is Mickey, I got sidetracked there. The fact that we'll have more players to kind of work with in the last week or two, and that should help Colm in both training and tactically to get things together. But I would expect quite a bit of change from the team that lined out against Armagh. We know one position which is going to change now, obviously, but I would expect maybe three or four changes in all for Meath and hopefully some freshness to come in.
Yeah, absolutely. You've hit me with a thunderbolt there, so you have for sure. And Davey, then the Meath ladies against Armagh, top of the table clash. I know you mentioned it already, but I just want to get away from the whole fact that Jack Flynn has gone from the Meath team and want to get, you know, just want to get that out of my mind for a few minutes. No, I can't. I just, he's devastated by that. I really am devastated by that. That's it's massive. That's really concerning.
Yeah, look, and we don't know the ins and outs of it either, Mickey. You know, no idea at this stage. There could be a couple, but like he's the most high profile. And I know that Colm Finnegan isn't part of the panel anymore either. He's a player that we would have had high hopes for, but obviously just hasn't worked out, which is a shame. But yeah, Jack Flynn, the big name, obviously.
Yeah. Did Colm do a call on the panel as well?
I think there was probably more fringe players were cut from it. I'm not exactly sure. Was Jack Flynn one of
no,
those,
no, like, no, no. I don't I can't mean, imagine no, no. So, yeah. It's, when you said Colm Finnegan and whatever, I was wondering, yeah, was there also a bit of a call on the extended panel.
There could be he was the only other name that I kind of heard, you know, so there could be maybe one or two more. I'm not sure.
Very interesting. And anyway, moving on anyway to our Mead and Armagh and the ladies. Much more positive season they're having than the men at the moment. And top of the table clash. Victory here, Davey, is huge, like, for me, because there'll only be three games left and Mead could lose one of those three games and still be in the league final because they'd have the head-to-head on Armagh. So this game against Armagh could be massive.
Yeah, it's a big fillip that they've got over, I suppose, Mayo and in particular Dublin. So they've, like, we were looking at it only a week or two ago, weren't we, Mickey, and kind of sizing up the games, and they're all very winnable games, including next Sunday. And it would be another big result. I just think, as much as the league position tells, but just even for momentum and belief for the squad, if they could keep this really good run that they're on going, I just think it bodes really well for them. And they've got a consistent team now. By and large, there's been little or no change in the starting 15 for the last number of weeks. And you can't change a winning team. So that's the only reason for that. But Shane McCormick has started really good, hit the ground running. And hopefully, as we said, they can continue next week. It's just a shame that it's not a doubleheader in Nav. And I understand logistically maybe it can't be, but it would have been brilliant to have a doubleheader and you know, got a massive, massive crowd into Park Tolleton to see the ladies as well as the men's team next Sunday.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, like we said at the start of the podcast there, the club competitions are back up and running this weekend, and all that hard slogging and dogging and everything that you did over the Christmas, it's got to stand to you now, Davey. It's that time of the year where I get to use those phrases and they can't be taken up the wrong way. It's usually I'm all excited. I am excited for you, but usually I'm getting excited as well because this year, I won't be doing it. I won't be kicking ball. I won't be starting the league campaign off or anything like that. I'll be just eating biscuits like I have been since the start of the podcast.
And it's the most excited I've ever seen you for a pre-season, Mickey. There must be a lot to be said for retirement.
Oh, I tell you, there's a lot of biscuits to be said for it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, see, as though you're looking forward to it, we're going to go to the Tolchin Shield fixtures taking place this week. And of course, there could be any night of the week, so we'll have to give you those as well. So on Thursday, February the 15th, at 8 p.m. in Cortown, would you believe? It's the first fixture coming up. It's going to be Cortown against St. Mary's. That's from Group A of the Tolchin Shield. And then on Saturday the 17th, Davey is able to then go and watch the opposition from Group A. It's Boards Mill against Kilmainham Wood in Boards Mill, Davey. Obviously, we're both going to be tipping Cortown against St. Mary's, are we?
I would like to hope so, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see a St. Mary's side under new management again. And massive pool of talent, just haven't been able to get it going. And We'll see what they're going to be like this year again, especially we'll start off on Thursday in Cork, and we'll get to see them. Boards Mill against Kilmaine and Wood. What's the news like on the ground about both of these sides, Davey?
Well, new management in Kilmaine and Wood, they've got obviously Ryan Stafford involved with the Meade 20, so I wouldn't think he would feature in this game. But by the same token, Boards Mill have Danny Dixon involved with the Meade senior team, so I wouldn't expect him to feature either. So I think both sides are likely to be missing their star men, which probably evens it up quite a bit. But I'd expect Kilmaine and Wood to probably have enough here to open up with a victory. Like, they were semi-finalists last year, and I just fancy they might have a little bit more than Boards Mill at this moment in time.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's Group A. Look, that Group B, also on Thursday night, the same time as Cortown play St Mary's, it's going to be Menalty against Drumcondrith in Menalty. And then on Saturday at 2 p.m, same as Boards Mill and Kilmaine and Wood, it's going to be Carnaross against Clonard in Carnaross at 2 p.m. We start off with Menalty and Drumcondrith, Davey. You'd be expecting a Menalty win here, but Drumcondrith under new management, it's going to be interesting to see what way they are. What have you heard about both of these teams pre-season?
Nothing from Drumcondrith, as you'd probably expect, Mickey, but I know Menalty have been back for quite a while now. They trained right through Christmas, pre-Christmas, so I'd expect them to hit the ground running and open up with a most comfortable victory here. I think they'll be far too good for Drumcondrith, and they'll want to attack the cup like they did last year, the reigning and defending champions.
And Dudley over Drumcondrith this year?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and he's obviously referees coordinator as well, so he'll be a busy man. He's certainly a passionate man, and I think he should definitely get something from Drumcondrith. He's local to them as well, and I think that's a positive appointment, but I'm not quite sure exactly has he got too many newcomers in, or has he retained most of what they would have had last year. But you could have easier openers to your season, put it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Carnaross against Clonard, Davey, in Carnaross, 2 p.m. Clonard, who, Jesus, were just a joy last year, and it was great to see how they reacted last year. We did talk about some off-the-field issues that they had and whatever. Have they resolved all that kind of stuff, Davey?
I know they're still waiting on a number of players to come back. The likes of Kenneth Darby and Jason Dowdle, who are two stalwarts, really. I don't think they've gone back yet, so they could be a little bit under strength in this game. And again, it's not a game that you want to be under strength in a way to Carnaross. They're having something like 30 lads training on a Sunday morning. They're really going at this year. They think they have a decent opportunity of going well this year. And probably we're kind of stewing on last year a bit too, you know, the way championship went for them in particular. So I think they'll really want to attack the season, and like their neighbours against Drumcondrith, I think Carnaross will be way too good.
And have Carnaross got anybody back this year? Franco?
No, I know you're insinuating about Franco. No, he's not back. He's still in the States. He's happy out there. And I think,
how long is he gone for, Davey? Or is he? Is there a time scale on it?
Forever, I think.
Forever.
Most of the Ravens sitting around Carnaross are hoping forever, ever. I'd miss seeing him in the pubs over Christmas because he's a great lad, but I wouldn't miss seeing him on the football pitch now, to be honest.
Leave no, he didn't is. Go over just to the, you know.
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah. We'll
game one or like that. Or yeah. Went over to actually work like full time or whatever.
Yeah, I think he's loving it over there, and listen, good luck to him. He's a big loss to Carnaross, needless to say, but I'm sure he'll be back at some stage.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll move on. That is the Tarleton Shield lockdown. What way is it working, Davey? Is it the two top teams going to the final?
No, two from three, actually. Or two from four, sorry. Semi-finals. One plays two from each, yeah.
Okay, so two. And is there one group of five in the Tarleton Shield?
No, there's just, they're the only eight teams that affiliated into the
competition. Okay, that's what I was going to say. There was only eight teams affiliated. Okay, moving on then to the Tarleton Cup. Three groups in this one. And you can fill me in on what way that's going to work. It actually says it up there, but you can fill me in on it. Save me from reading it. In Group A, it's going to be on Thursday the 15th. Ballinlough versus Kilmainham in Ballinlough. Nice little local derby there. And then St Dalton's against Dundry in Sean Newman Park at 2 p.m. on Saturday the 17th. Another little local derby. Is this the Bohemian group, is it, Davey?
It's such a local group, isn't it? It's very appetizing, actually. I like the look of this one. I think with Ballinlough and Kilmainham, you're probably going to have two teams really under strength, particularly Ballinlough. Like, they have three lads involved with the Meath hurlers, and I think Oisín McDermott is in with the Meath under 20 footballers as well. So like, they're going to start life under Ken Rothwell with very under strength. Kilmainham will start life without Mickey Newman, who's I think recovering, but not likely to feature much at all for the first half of the year. I don't think you'll probably see him. You mightn't even see him before Championship. But they're starting life under Gary Farrelly, of course, as well. So two new managers coming in a local derby to boot. So it'll be a really interesting tussle. They drew in the Championship last year, first round, over in Grange Codden. So there shouldn't be too much between them here.
Yeah, that'll be an exciting one. All right, if anybody wants to get out on Thursday evening, go to Cortown or go to Ballinlough. They're not too far between. You could get the first half from one, the second half from the other. And then St Dalton's against Dundry, Davey. Dundry side, it cannot be as bad as they were last year. And it's St Dalton side too, promise not to be as bad as they were last year, because they've got a number of players back and they have a point to prove as well by regrading back up to Junior A.
Yeah, both sides have been back for a good bit. You know, done quite an extensive pre-season. Ultons, I think, have been back since probably the end of November, start of December. They took very little time off. They played a couple of challenges. They got a victory over a Slane side who were literally just back, but still a morale boost and win, no doubt. And Dundry, they've played a couple of challenges too. I know they played Castletown in a competitive game as well, and they've got big numbers back. So I think both sides will be looking, needless to say, for much improved 2024 to what they endured last year. It was an awful season for both of them. And of course, Ultons have been regraded back up to Junior A now. And mad to think that their first game will be against Dundry, their local neighbours. So that should be a fascinating duel Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely. And just as you are talking about what the teams will be expecting from this year and whatever, it brings me on to our Loyal Royals podcast this week. Do stay tuned to the Loyal Royals Patreon / We Are Mead. We've done the report cards for the Intermediate Championship and Senior Championship teams for 2024 based on 2023's performances. So that's one to look out for and have a listen to. Just as I hear Davey going on about a few different things with some of the teams there. Moving on to Group B then of the Tochen Cup. And on Thursday night, St Vincent's will play Moyle in Ardcath. And then Clonmacnoise have a bye from Group B. St Vincent's against Moyle. Moyle have a bit of a journey, a bit of a trek on Thursday evening. Could they not have just left this until Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I think this is a really, really difficult start for them as well, for Moyle. Vincent's our team that we know it's not the nicest place to go at the best of times, Ardcath, but particularly early in the season. Thursday game under
pitch.
The lights. Yeah, I know. I like it too. I just don't like playing on it, to be honest. But
you don't like playing them.
Yeah, that too. But it's a formidable game. First game for Shaggy McManus too. They should be pretty close to full strength, and I'd fancy they'd open up with a win here.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they can take off from where they left last year, because by God, they finished that championship really, really well, and. So funny, I really think that had they snuck into a quarterfinal, now they would have been the team to beat in that Junior A. But it just shows you the small margins in the Junior A Championship. And obviously, Clonmacnoise have a bye. Then in Group C, only one game as well, because only three teams in this one. It's Saturday the 17th, St Bridget's against Sidon, Davey. Is Dara Rowe still with the Meath panel, or will he be available?
Well, the last I heard, he is. He was on the match day 26 for the Armagh game, so I'd expect he probably is, but can't
okay,
be sure.
So, and then you've got Mickey Flood, so that's them two cancelled out. They probably just would have marked each other in the game and cancelled each other out.
Cancelled each other out, yeah, so no need them playing at all. But look, this is a good game on paper too. I think Bridget's defeated Sydney, if I'm not mistaken, in the quarterfinal of the Championship last year. I think I'm right in saying. And No, I could actually be wrong in saying sorry. But needless to say, it's evenly matched teams, two North Mead sides. Won't be much in this. Probably one of the lower scoring games, maybe, but home advantage should count for Bridget's. Ballinacree is a real fortress and a tough place to go and get a result.
Absolutely. Did St. Bridget's not win their first three games and guarantee themselves a semi-final spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did last year in the junior championship, and that was to their detriment. They peaked too early and weren't able to get it back up. Yeah, but St. Bridget's will be Ballinacree will be a tough place to go, all right, for them. Davey, just explain to me here what's happening. Is it top two from Group A, top one from Group B and C?
I'm going to say so, yeah. I'm not entirely sure, though.
Let's just have a look and see if we can find. So, the semi-final are to be played on Tuesday. Finalists at Dundry will be beginning life on the Junior B Champions, Junior A finalists, Clonmacnoise, having a bye in the opening round.
I'd imagine so, Mickey, just with the two groups of three, that surely is the way.
That surely it's going to be top one out of Group B and C and top two out of Group A into the semi-finals. Well, Davey, we're going to move now to the intermediate, or the Cornabonia, the intermediate cup, as they like to say it. The first fixture, in fact, do you have the fixtures there in front of you while I have a quick look and see if I can get them?
Yeah, so starting at Group A on Thursday night in round one, Duleek Bellewstown play host to Blackhall Gales in Duleek at 8 p.m. And the second game in Group A is on Saturday, the 17th of February, and Oldcastle hosting Walterstown in Millbrook at 2 p.m.
That's an interesting.
Yeah,
it's an interesting group, Davey. You know, you do have three big hitters in there from the last couple of years in Duleek Bellewstown, Oldcastle and Waterstown. And you have Blackhall Gales, who are treading dangerously in intermediate championship, but are still there. Duleek Bellewstown win for you over Blackhall Gales on Thursday evening?
I think so, yeah. They should have way too much.
And do Duleek Bellewstown have anybody involved with County at the moment? I think, like, obviously the Bowdens are...
Alan Bowden was to be on the Mead senior panel. Now I haven't heard, like, and he didn't feature in the O'Byrne Cup at all. I'm not sure if he had injuries or whatever, but and I assume they probably have a couple involved with the Mead under 20s too. But like, we know the depth that Duleek Bellewstown have, even if they are missing a couple of players, we feel that they probably should have enough to overcome Blackhall.
Robin Clark is a player we haven't really spoken about recently. Since last year's club championship, but we thought based on his performances last year he might get a call back up to the Mead panel, but maybe he wasn't interested or something.
I think he was, actually, from when we spoke to him. He kind of went on record as saying he would go back in if he was called, but obviously that maybe didn't come. Which is kind of a gain for Duleek Bellewstown, isn't it, Mickey? Because he's such a key man for them.
Absolutely. And then Oldcastle against Waterstown on Saturday, Davey, as you mentioned already. This will be an interesting one. Obviously, Scully is not available for Oldcastle with injuries and whatever. Waterstown have to get used to life without Brian O'Connell. But they do have Barry back. Is there anybody else gone? I think there might be one or two more gone. Is Rod still around for Waterstown, or is he gone?
I think he is, as far as I know. Conor O'Farrelly's obviously in with the Mead senior, so he's probably not going to be eligible to play in this one either. So it sort of would edge you towards an Oldcastle victory almost. You know, life without Brian O'Connell set to start, as you say. So they've had some great duels though through the years. This is always one of the most entertaining games when these two meet in intermediate football. So let's hope we can get something similar next Saturday.
Yeah, Oldcastle getting the nod on home soil, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Group B, the first game out on Thursday night is O'Matney's against Meath Hill and Paddy O'Brien Park, 8 p.m. Then on Saturday at 2 p.m, it's Kilbride versus Knobber in Kilbride. Nice tasty one there, O'Matney's and Meath Hill. First one out on Thursday evening there, Davey.
Yeah, I like the look of that one. That's probably the pick of the ties, isn't it, Mickey, in the intermediate, I'd say. Two good sides, two sides that we expect to be contending for major honours later in the year. So, be interesting to see how they're both motoring. I kind of like Meath Hill in that one, to be honest with you. Long journey for them on a Thursday evening, something about it, I sort of feel they might deliver a big win.
It's only a 15-20 minute drive in from Meath Hill to Navan on a Friday evening.
In a plane, is it?
Just out past Castletown, you divil you. But Navan O'Matney's no county players. Do they have anybody in the under-20s? Is our Galway man back, or is he gone?
I don't know, actually. I assume he's probably still there. I think Owen Joyce has hung up the boots, actually, from last year, the Clonburn man. He served them really, really well. He's involved with the Meath under-20s as a selector this year, so he's called time in his career. But I think everybody else should still be there for Navan O'Matney. He's Oisin O'Brien included.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Meath Hill, they had a couple of guys in for trials with the Meath team or in on the extended panel, if I'm not mistaken, did they?
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody really made the cut for the Meath seniors. Not sure about the under-20s. They may still have one or two involved in that, but remains to be seen.
In Kilbride against Nobber, Davey. Two of these probably will be passing each other this year, if you know what I mean. One team seems to be really on the rise. The other one is having a slow decline.
Yeah, it seems to be almost like two ships in the night, isn't it? And it's hard not to fancy Kilbride in this one. They've done a decent preseason as well, but they do have a couple of players for sure involved in the under-20 squad. I'm pretty sure in saying Nobber don't, so maybe that's an advantage to Nobber. But on home soil, I'd be surprised if Kilbride don't open up with a win here, considering how tough this group is. It's a game they need to win, really, if they're to have any chance of coming out of it, really.
Yeah, they've a small panel though, Kilbride, and you know, a couple of under-20s. Do they have somebody involved in the Meath team as well? Did McWeeney make the standard panel?
No, I think under-20s, but like he's suffering bad with shin splints again, so he's going to be out for a while, I think, with those.
Okay. Well, an interesting one, Davey, given Kilbride there, the nod over Nobber in Kilbride, I suppose it's hard to argue when they're at home on home soil as well. That's a fair old distance from Nobber. Kilbride, I can tell you. Next up, you were saying about Meath Hill and No Matneys. Group C then, moving on to it. The teams involved, Mainalvi, St. Michael's, Drumbarra, Longwood. Mainalvi will play St. Michael's on Saturday at 2 p.m. and Drumbarra at the same time will take on Longwood in Drumbarra on Saturday. So both of these games taking place on Saturday, none of them on the Thursday evening. We start with Mainalvi and St. Michael's, Davey. Interesting.
It is interesting because I know Mainalvi haven't had a brilliant start of the year. I'm not sure numbers have been too hectic in that, but they have a bit more training under their belt than St. Michael's do. Their first training session was only on Friday night, so it's hard to expect too much maybe from them in this game. And the fact that Mainalvi are at home, potentially you might maybe just side with them in this one. They might just be a little bit more fitter than their opponents.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to the St. Michael's manager John there a couple of weeks ago, John Brady, and like they have been doing a bit outside of the field, not a whole pile and whatever, but that was one of the things. He didn't want to bring them back too soon, so it'll be interesting to see how they get back. Like, will St. Michael's be like a young calf getting back out the grass for the first time this year, you know, that kind of way?
Could be, Mickey, but you know the way the young calves go out and they're quite untidy, just buckling around the place, you wouldn't know what they could do, particularly with the football as well. So probably hard to expect too much, but you could be onto something. They might be fresh and raring to go, and I think that'll be a pretty close game anyway. There wouldn't be too much between those.
Yeah, Killian O'Sullivan won't be involved, I don't think, with Mainalvi for that one.
He could be. I think he's back in doing a bit with Meade, so maybe they might want to get a bit of game time into him. I don't know. Porrick Harnan could well be involved because he's, we believe, not going to be coming back with Meade. So listen, they could be bolstered by those two, and if they are, they're a very different animal altogether then.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Moving on then to the other game in that group, Drumbara against Longwood in Drumbara at 2 p.m. on Saturday. It could be Drumbara plus a manager against Longwood with no manager. You kind of
Drumbara who ended up with Longwood's manager last year and ended up beating them en route to survival versus the team that they're playing now that still don't have a manager, and it's a bit of a mess, isn't it? Look, hard to look past Drumbara. They're missing a number of players, like a number of the older players still haven't gone back. Harry O'Higgins is out injured. Hughie Corcoran's with the Meath under 20s. So they won't be absolutely hitting the ground running here. I do think they should have enough to open up with a win in Drumbara, but I don't think it'll be a foregone conclusion either. I think Longwood will give them a good fill of it.
Well, how many players have Longwood involved with county panels? Two goalies, Mickey Burke.
Damien Healy is coming back from injury with the hurlers, still involved. So, now, listen, I think the likelihood is Harry Hogan would probably play in this one because it looks at this moment in time like he's the third choice with Meath. So I wouldn't see any reason why he wouldn't play in this game for Longwood, but maybe not.
Yeah, he could be the new midfielder for Meath.
Yeah,
he did talk about playing outfield.
That's Billy, that's the younger one.
And then finally, the Group D. On Thursday night, Castletown will take on Bolivar and Castletown at 8 p.m. on the lights. And then on Saturday, it's Bective against St. Pat's. This is a nice, tasty-looking group. Castletown, Bolivar, Bective, St. Pat's. Four teams on their day that could all beat each other. There's probably one that's more consistent than the rest in there. So St. Pat's will be the most consistent over the last couple of years. Then Castletown, then Bolivar, then Bective. But Bective, on their day, could beat any of those teams as well. It's just one of those groups that you just don't know what will happen.
Yeah, it's a nice looking group. I know Castletown and Pats had a great game in the championship last year as well, and there wouldn't be too much between those two. Bolivar and Castletown first round out, it's a difficult game to call. Again, Castletown probably have a couple of lads wrapped up with the Meath 20s too, and Bolivar might actually have a few players back to maybe what they would normally have this time of year. So, got a new manager in too. It's a really difficult one. Do you know what? I'll go for a draw on that one. I couldn't really.
Two teams that you do like, Castletown and Bolivar. I'm full sure you'd be going for Bolivar. I'd be going probably a Castletown win in that one, just on home soil as well on a Thursday night, trying to get lads over from Bolivar and whatever. It might be easier for the Castletown lads.
Yeah.
And then finally, the Bective St. Pat's one. It all depends on what Bective turns up in this one. And if they've got a fully fit squad. I think a fully fit squad, Rearing, and a fully fit squad over a long period, we'll say a 6 month period for Bective, would turn that whole thing around for them.
Yeah, I struggle to see it though. I think Pat will win this one, Mickey. Bective played a challenge over the weekend, were beaten by Slane. So
hard numbers to an issue again, or did they do a pre-season or?
I think Bective have done a pre-season and that, but I know a couple of the older lads maybe haven't just gone back yet, so they might be a little bit under strength, and I think Pats will take full advantage.
Yeah, have you heard anything on the ground on St. Pat's at all, how they're moving this year? Or
No, they tend to keep their cards close to their chest, don't they, St. Pat's? They don't don't get too carried away in that. So and they're always strong. Like they're the reigning and defending champions, aren't they? In the Cornabonia, so we expect them to be strong.
Yeah, they beat Dalík Beilstein in last year's decider. St. Pat's, like it's a weird place. Like you ask someone, you know, St. Pat's, where's that? It's De Mullen. Where's De Mullen? Actually, it's a good question. It's kind of like, it is a little bit like Ballinabraki and Narnia. It's a very hard place to find if you don't know where you're going. And the only way you can find it is by accidentally falling into it.
Stumbling across it, yeah.
Yeah, stumbling across it is right. It's just out there on its own. And
look, an absolute lovely place as well. The previous employer of mine had a gorgeous estate out there, and then you've got Gormanston Beach is literally a 2 or 3 minute drive from it as well. Fantastic scenic place to live.
If you know the shortcut. If you don't know the shortcut, it's an hour drive then down to Gormanston. There's roads in and out of that place that you wouldn't even know were roads and stuff. But nice place. No, I do like St. Pat's. I do like the lads over there. Great bunch of lads. Sounds like a Father Ted episode now. Moving on to the first cup, Davey, and we're going to go to Group A and look at the fixtures in this one. On Thursday night, Central Sim will take on Screen, and then on Saturday, Summerhill will take on Dunamore Ashburn in Summerhill. Central Sim against Screen, we'll go to that one on Thursday night first. Two teams that probably would have most of their players available to them. Campion maybe for Screen. Centreston might have a couple of under 20s, would they?
Yeah, they could have like Commons and that probably is involved in that. And they've obviously got Cahill Hickey with Mead. They'll have Cahill Finnegan back now, we know, which is a big plus. And Screen will be missing Campo, as you say, Mickey. First game for Mick O'Dowd. Be fascinated to see how they go. This is a game that generally whets the appetite too.
His second game back.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, officially his first game back. Yeah. But you're right. He played a very important game at the end of last season as well. How could we forget that one? But no, I like Sandstone here on home soil. I think they'll win.
Okay. Interesting. Sandstone to win that one. And then on Saturday, Summerhill against Dunamore Ashburn, 2 p.m. in Summerhill. Quite depleted Summerhill team when you consider the amount of county players under 20s, the whole lot. Dunamore Ashburn full strength. This is the time of the year when Dunamore Ashburn do, you know, kick into gear.
Yeah, finalists last year, beaten by Kells in the final over in their home ground. And they're my pick of the week actually here, Dunamore Ashburn. I think they'll win. Summerhill have lads, as you said, Mickey, involved with the county. They've got a few guys gone travelling. They've got a few of the older lads who haven't come back. I believe Davy Dalton has announced his retirement as well, which will be a blow for them. Don't be surprised to see him back, like Micheál Byrne. He says he's retired every year too, but it's going to be quite a youthful Summerhill side, at least for the early part of the season. And I fully expect Dunamore Ashburn to cash in on that and get a win here.
Yeah, this will be an interesting year for Summerhill, so it will, it really will. You consider the ups and all the downs of the last 10 years before getting their hands on that Keegan Cup. And a lot of players had a lot of miles on the clock by the time it came around, and it was an absolutely amazing, amazing win. They do have a massive amount of talent, young talent coming through, but for the older players, they must have been just exhausted, and you know, a lot of them probably will take a break now. So it could be a massive year in Summerhill's progression and stuff like that.
I wouldn't expect just too much from them early in the season. I know they got to a league final last year as well. I don't think they'll do that this year. I think the championship will be their main goal this year. If they can get their house in order for that, I think they'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, but we're still going to give Dunamore Ashburn the win in this Fresh Cup game on Saturday. Moving on then to Group B, and both of these games taking place on Saturday. Nafina against Dunshaughlin at 2 p.m. in Nafina. Curragha against Simonstown in Curragha at 2 p.m. We go to Nafina against Dunshaughlin in Nafina at 2 p.m. Dunshaughlin side that will also be depleted. Nafina, a couple of players involved, maybe the hurling and the Mead hurlers and stuff like that. So probably a couple of under 20s as well. So both teams shouldn't be at full strength anyway.
No, you're right. Like Nafina will be missing, Ethan Devine. They'll be missing Shawnee Martin, Ronan Byrne. So they'll have a number of players down. But so will Dunshaughlin. Like they'll have like Gray, Kinsella, Costello, Connor Duke. I think is with the 22, maybe one or two more. So, both sides will be under strain. Ben Duggan has gone travelling for Dunshaughlin. He'll miss the whole year for them. Be a big loss. So it could be a bit of a test and start for Dunshaughlin, and Shane Barrett in there with Nafina. He's been pretty impressive, I believe, early in the season. Everybody's bought in. They're going really well in pre-season. I think Nafina should win this one.
Is that the second time Ben Duggan went travelling?
Is it?
I think so. Did he not go travelling the year before last as well?
Ben, Jesus, I should know this. I'm one of his best friends.
I thought he was away for a little while as well. But anyway,
yeah, he may have been. I don't think he missed too much football. No, he hasn't been. He hasn't missed much football at all. He definitely won't play any though this year. He's away for the whole year.
Okay, I thought maybe was he injured a couple of years ago or something. But I remember him. You know, you saying about him. Yeah. He's just back. It's going to take a while for him to get back into it. Anyways. Going for an Athena win there on home soil. Then Curragh against Simonstown, 2 p.m. on Saturday as well, Davey. Curragh will be missing a couple, but they, I suppose, not just Moriarty, really, is that it?
Yeah, I think James McAtee's still out, though, and obviously Pádraig O'Hanrahan is with the hurlers, too.
So, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think their manager has been in place for that long either. So, look, Simonstown, you'd imagine Mickey would probably have more at their disposal. No county men this year at all, so you'd fancy them. But I've actually, a few years ago, we played a cup game first round over in Curragh, and it's Jesus, like, it's not the nicest place to play your first game of the year there. It's quite a heavy pitch in that, so it could be a bit of a leveler, shall we say. But I still expect Simonstown to have enough.
Yeah, you would expect, especially when they're at practice. They should be at full strength, or they should have most available, depending on, you know, injuries and stuff maybe carried on from last year. But both of us giving signs in the nod on that one. Then on Thursday night in Group C, it's going to be Trim against Wolf Tones. On Saturday, it'll be Gael Cullum-Killing against Ballinabrachy and Grange Garden. But we'll go to Trim and Wolf Tones in Trim at 8 p.m. on Thursday night, Davey. Both teams probably down a similar amount of players, or would Trim have more hurlers maybe?
Yeah, Trim will probably have more hurlers, and obviously the two lads with the footballers too. I think Wolf Tones will be way too strong in this one, actually. They've lost Thomas O'Reilly too. He's gone travelling for the year also, so, you know, another big blow for them. But I still fancy they'll have more than enough here to see off Trim.
Do they have a couple of under-20s? Wolf Tones, they definitely have O'Neill involved, the Mead team.
Yeah.
Anyone else? I don't think the Wards usually come back this time of the year. Well, Keane doesn't anyway.
Bit early for Keane, all right. No, they're probably, yeah, look, they're probably well under strength themselves, but I just think Trim probably will struggle for the early part of the season.
Yeah, no bother. I'm just trying to make a case. Anyway, we're going to give Wolf Tones the nod. And then the other game, Gael Cullum-Kill against Ballinabrachy, Davey, in Grange Garden at 2 p.m. These two sides have served up some brilliant games over the last number of years. Gael Cullum-Kill, have they anybody else back? Have they lost even more this year?
No, I actually think they've got a few back, Mickey. And I think they'll be, I won't say a different animal, but I expect them to be stronger than they were last season. They've obviously second year under the belt with their management as well. They're the reigning and defending champions of the Fetch Cup too. So there'll be a lot to play for them. Ballinabrachy have Sean Coffey with me, then I think they might have one or two under 20s also. So I actually fancy the Kells men here on home soil to open up with a win.
Okay, then, so Kells for the victory in that one. And then the final group, it's Rathkenny against St. Columbkills in Rathkenny, and it's Dunboyne against Rathoath in Dunboyne. Both of those games on Saturday at 2 p.m. We're going to look at Rathkenny against St. Columbkills. Davey, Rathkenny backup senior, loving the fact that they're back up. Not an easy one to open up with, though. St. Columbkills, the youth and experience that they have in their team. And Rathkenny, down a few players let's say, between county senior and county under 20s.
Oh, Jesus, Mickey, talk about a baptism of fire. Not just Colm Kills, but Dunboyne and Rathoath in the group as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Minus your best two footballers. I think this could be a difficult group for them. This is going to sound crazy now, but maybe there was a case for not affiliating to the cup. I know that sounds a bit crazy, but just when you're missing so many players, and I'm not sure about some of the older players, have they come back either? I think this will be a difficult group for Rakeni. Colm Kills will be way too good for them. It'll be a different story come championship, but don't get me wrong. I think when Rakeni get everybody together, they'll be okay. But this is not a good. They need a bit of luck with the group, and they haven't got it basically.
Yeah, but the only thing I suppose to be said for Rakeni is that they won a Division 2 under, was it 20, Division was 2 it? Minor championship last year?
Yeah, 20. Was it not under 20, no?
Oh, maybe it was under 20s, yeah. Amalgamation with St. Mary's Donore. And
sorry, you're right, that was minor.
That was minor. And yeah, I think that didn't they get to a final or win in under 20s as well? So
did you?
There are players coming through at minor level, and this is a good way to blood them in and to show them the level they're going to need to get up to. There's one thing we know for sure anyway, that Rakeni won't be lacking in numbers, you know, because they are bringing through a cohort of really good footballers who won the championships last year.
No, listen, from that perspective, definitely it's a good exposure to them to show them what it's like against this quality of opposition. I just worry that if they get two or three beatings, that it might do them more harm than good. I just hope they can pick the positives out of whatever comes of this campaign in the Fesh Cup. But I don't think it'll be good in terms of results, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, so Colm Kills to win that one anyway against Rakeni. And then the other one, Davey, Dunboyne against Rathoath. Maybe the whole complexion of this game has changed now. Will Jack Flynn be playing at 2 p.m. on Saturday for Rathoath against Dunboyne?
Who'd have thought that 2 weeks ago, yeah. He could do, yeah. And listen, there'll be a whole host of top quality players, I'm sure. You'll have the likes of Donal Lenehan, Shane McAtee, Seamus Lavin now back as well for St. Peter's Dunboyne. Obviously Andy McAtee has come in as a coach. I like Dunboyne. I actually think, for me, they're an outsider for the championship this year. I really do think that. I hope they're a nice juicy price and I can get stuck into them when the odds are revealed. But I fancy them to go pretty well this year. They have a number of players back. Got some decent young players coming through as well. They've still got a bit of quality with the Meath team also. And yeah, I think they'll win this game. I think this is a cracking opening game as well, because Rathoath will be pretty strong as well with the likes of McMahon and probably McGill in their ranks. Gavin McGowan potentially also, and Keane Rogers, who knows. So I like this game. I think it stands out off the page, and it'll be a great watch for anybody available to go to it on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
I'm just going through fixtures there. I'm looking for Antrim's fixtures next weekend, and just trying to see. I cannot find them for some reason. Maybe Andy has had their game called off.
I know they've got a massive game. I know they're playing down. I just don't know when it is. I think it's definitely down they're playing. I'm not sure if it's Saturday or Sunday. But that's a huge game for him, as well as this one, obviously.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I'm wondering whether he'll be able to go to that game on Saturday. Well, I actually cannot find. Is it a bank holiday next weekend?
Antrim's game is not. Unless it is up the north.
unless it is, yeah, but it's not on the Sunday. It's not on the Saturday. I can't find the Antrim game here at all. It's hardly a Friday night game. Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see James Lavin back, as you said, which is great for Des Moines, and maybe an outside chance of him playing for Meath at some stage as well. But that's an absolutely incredible group for Rakeni to have been drawn into.
Yeah, incredible is a good way of putting it, all right. I think they'd have liked it a little bit easier, but that's your senior team now. That's part and parcel of it, you know. You're in with the big boys, and they've been drawn against three of the big boys for sure.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Well, look, that is the cup competitions looked at. We've given you our little predictions on all them as well. And you know, what that always signifies to me, Davey, when the club football starts back, is the evening starting to get a little bit brighter.
Yeah, there's a grand old stretch now. We're recording here on Sunday evening. It's 20-6 and it's still lovely bright outside. So great to see. And credit to the fixture makers as well, Mickey, and the CCC, because they've actually dished out the whole cup schedule. So everybody knows their fixtures for all three rounds, which is great to see. You know, you're like, we're out Thursday, Saturday, Thursday, can let lads plan ahead. And I think where possible, most of the games have been put on Thursdays and Fridays if there's lights. And then the remaining games that don't have lights have been put down as a Saturday afternoon. So all things considered, I think everybody's pretty pleased at that.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, we'll move on now and do our lottos. I presume that the PROs have been in contact. And just to let you know as well, I just looked it up there. Andy McAdee will be out on Sunday, as you said, against Down in that game at 2 p.m. So he's available on Saturday for Dunboyne, which they'll be delighted to know.
Good news. Lottos, Mickey, starting off with my own Cartoon, and we had a €17,900 jackpot on Friday night last, which was not won. The numbers were 5, 13, 29, and 30. €520 winners were Daryl O'Halloran, Carla Coyne, Jimmy Farrell, Denise Moen, and Anita Curran. The €150 voucher for the Vanilla Pod went to Niamh McCabe, and that all means that we're back next Friday night with an €18,000 jackpot for the first time in our history, probably our last as well. And we'll also have a €500 Blue Book voucher as well for one lucky player, regardless of if the jackpot is won or lost. So get in on the fun there, cartowngaa.com/lotto. Castletown, from the 7th of February, they had a €7,300 jackpot. It also wasn't won. 1, 10, 16 and 20 won their numbers. Lucky dip winners, each collecting €30, were Anne Young. So Anne's got £60, fair dues to her. Nisha Leah and Aaron Young. So that's three Youngs who are winners already. It's a real young affair here in Castletown. Colin and Carmel and Dolores Morris. So they're the €30 winners. Blackall Gales from the 29th of January. 13, 22, 25 and 26. 10,000 of a jackpot, it was not won. €30 lucky dip winners were Patrick Snee, Owen Trainer, Mark Ferris, Eminem Mullally, and Bill Clark gets the seller's prize. Ballinlock from their fortnightly draw, they had a €6,700 jackpot. The letters drawn were H, R, V, and W. No jackpot winner. Next draw takes place on the 19th of February. The match three winner was Porrick Maguire, and Porrick collects €100, and the next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Now, for the Matneys, the numbers from last week were 5, 11, 16, and 32. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Pauline and John McAteer, Caroline Quinn, and Liz Gaffney. The jackpot remains at 15,000, which it's capped at, and the next draw takes place on Tuesday night, the 13th of February. Kilmainham, from Monday night, the 5th of February, they had no winner. 4, 8, 16 and 20, their numbers. Next week's jackpot moves on to €11,000. Five lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20, were Linda Byrne, Liam Needle, Fiona Lloyd, Andrew Arkins, and Nisha Muldoon. Manalvi from last Monday night, the 5th of February, 8, 17, 19, and 23. Their numbers, no jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Nicola O'Rourke, Davina Corcoran, and John Prenderville. The next draw takes place on Monday, the 12th of February, and it's worth €6,700. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Drumbarra from last week, 4, 9, 16, and 24. Their numbers, €5,100 jackpot, not one. €30 winners were Holly Jordan, Patrick Carey, Skinner McGovern, Liz Casserly, and William Carey. The final one on my list, Mickey, for this week comes from Menalty from the 5th of February 2024. Their jackpot of €2,400 wasn't won. The numbers were 10, 15, 18, and 24. The one match three winner was Hugh Lynch, and Hugh collects €200. The special online prize of €50 went to Mikey Smith. And they start again on Sunday night, which is tonight. They've got €2,600.
Okay, Davey. So Centreston's Lotto last Monday, the 5th of February. The numbers drawn were 2, 6, 11, and 17. There was no jackpot winner. Five €25 winners were Janie Kyle, Paul Donoghue, Margaret Clark, Oliver Curtis, and Brian Clark. Next week's jackpot will be €1,200. Then we will move on to the next one up, which is, I'm just trying to get them up on the phone, Kilmainham Wood GFC. Their results from last Tuesday, the 6th, 13, 16, 17, and 22. No jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners. Lal Cassidy, Eugene Kearns, Shane Lynch, Jerry Clark, and Colette McConnell. And this week's lotto will be €7,000. And then finally, Simonson's Lotto from last Friday, the 9th. The jackpot was €4,900. There was no winner. The lucky dip winners were Niall McGrain, Keane McGrath, and Dan Keane. Numbers drawn 2, 9, 30, and 31. And the next week's jackpot will be €4,950. So they're nearly at the 5,000 mark there, so they are, Davey. Well, that's that. We shall move on now to Instagram talking points, Davey.
Yeah, first up is Jack Walsh, and he said Rovers impressive win on Friday night versus St Pat's, and have Jack Byrne, Pico Lopez, and Graham Burke to come back.
Was that the start of the
No, that was the President's Cup. It's like the Community Shield.
It was the Shield. Yeah.
So,
that'd be like celebrating the Community Shield as, you know,
a trophy,
as a major trophy.
Yeah, only Liverpool would do that.
Yeah, it has to be counted for them.
Yeah. Speaking of Jack Walsh, Jack McConnell wants to know, why is Jack Walsh not getting game time for the Meath Hurlers?
Why do you think that is, Davey?
I don't know. He's been on the match day 26 for the first 2 weeks there, and he hasn't got on yet. And he wasn't too bad the day I seen him over in Longwood. So look, he's obviously not a million miles away, and hopefully he'll get game time soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a big unit of a man. So maybe he's just biding his time with horses for courses.
Yeah. Brian Flynn said we need a solid 70 minute performance against Loud and to play like a team.
Yeah, well, I'm not being smart, but look, we have not seen too many times a full 70-minute performance from Meath. I suppose you'd have to probably go back to the Tolton Cup last year to see anything like that. We haven't seen it since. The depletion of this team, like, it's so funny. Like, come back to start of January, the optimism from me and you, and we were looking forward to the year and whatever, but we obviously didn't know the full extent of all of the injuries, etc., on the team and the fellas that were available. And with the spine of the team absolutely ripped apart, it's just like we're going back to the drawing board again. Then you've got a number of players, obviously, that were involved with Sigerson only coming back now properly into the squad. It would be lovely to see a 70-minute performance, but is that even actually possible?
I don't think there is such a thing, but I get what he's saying. He wants a more complete performance, like instead of playing in the fits and spans. I think we'll absolutely need something like that to get a result next weekend. But I'd expect us to, like, you're home to Loud. You have to produce. You know, it's such a big game for us, really. Deck F. Dunn, just on that, said win versus Loud or we're facing relegation.
Yeah,
there's no two ways about it. Like, if you have one win, 1 point from your three games, you're in dire straits. Like,
yeah, but it all depends on other results as well.
Of course it does. Well, like, you have 1 point from three games. Of course, you're facing relegation if you lose next weekend. I'm not saying you're down, but you are facing relegation.
You're not facing relegation, but you're trying to avoid it then. Like, okay, if Cavan beat Cork and if Kildare lose to Armagh, whoever it is, on the weekend, they'll both still be on 0 points going into that fourth round game where Meath have to play Cork, which is a massive game. And I think that's where you probably are, or Kildare, sorry, in the fourth game. Like, I don't think you're facing a relegation battle, but you're one result away then from being in serious trouble.
I have to disagree with you, but we'll move on.
But the maths on it prove it. You know,
he's not saying we're down or we're, you know, but we are facing relegation if you have 1 point from three games.
Yeah, okay, then I suppose it's the wording of it, I suppose.
He worded it well, to be fair to him. John Scaffold says, Mead yearbook 2023. Yeah, it seems to get later every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that comes out Christmas 25.
Well, no, I actually did do I had to do an exercise on it a few weeks ago identifying our team. So I don't know, but I can only assume it'll be out soon.
I remember
it's one of these things, though, you feel that it has to be on the shelf for Christmas.
Yeah, I remember what it used to be. It used to be a Christmas present that we'd buy for people and whatever, like, and then it just gets further and further and further. I think it's the Hogan Stand who produced them. So,
he's right.
So
yeah.
maybe check with them and see.
Dara Tui said Duleek for the treble. Jesus, Cup League and Championship. There you have it.
I just need to go back and look. Well, they were in the final of the Cup last year, fourth in the league, and they were in the final of the Championship. They came away with none of them, so he wants to go from 0 to 3. Look, there's no doubt. They could.
Yeah. Shane Mangan said Mead football jerseys on the front of the Mead hurling program. Don't think that was actually the case, to be honest with you. I think it was like a promo for the Carlow game, and there was a young lad wearing a Bective stud jersey as opposed to a Glen Bay sponsored jersey. But
okay, you saw that. Okay,
yeah. Anyway, lucky to be working. Said best of luck to Paul Kelly with his debut for the Mead hurlers tomorrow. So yeah, Paul lined out.
Paul lined out. You just lost you there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Paul Kelly and his debut for the Mead hurlers. His league debut for the Mead hurlers.
Was it his league debut though?
Well, look, he corrected himself and he said, "Sorry, not Paul Kelly's debut." Was told, but best of luck. Some lads need to chill seriously. But I actually think it was his league debut. I don't think it was his full debut, but it was his league debut.
Was it his starting, the first time he started for Mead hurlers? Yeah. Okay.
It was. Brendan Kay wants to know, why can't there be a double header with the ladies for Sunday the 18th?
Yeah, we would like one of those games kicking off at 12, thrown in at 12 maybe, the ladies thrown in at 12 and then the Mead footballers straight away afterwards. That would have been some day.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been for sure.
Why? Have we heard why or what or...
No, we haven't. I can only assume it's to do with the pitch, but I'm only guessing, to be honest.
Disappointing
for sure. Owen Dalton said Seemany played a decent challenge game against Offaly and Clonard during the week.
Well, did you hear anything about that?
I think that game was Bank Holiday Monday, And I believe it was between the two development teams. So I don't think too many first teamers featured for Meath. But that's all I heard. I didn't hear how it went or who played well or anything like that. Paul Gannon wants to know where are all the Kildare lads? One on the Meath panel the last day, and I think only one on the Meath panel today. I think there is only one on the Meath panel.
And why is that?
I don't know. I don't pick the panel, but it is a bit odd. Look, they are the senior champions in that. Not sure if they weren't picked.
They're champion, so they are, Davey. So not only the senior champions,
yeah, champions of everything. Yeah. Sorry, you're right. You're right.
And yeah, like so.
I was trying to play it down, Mickey, but you're dead right. They won everything.
So maybe they're just concentrating club or something, is it?
Yeah, possibly. You just don't know. But it's a pity not to see a few more of them for whatever the reason is, actually. Yeah. PS Tapes, who had a very entertaining episode of the I Bloody Love Fantasy Premier League podcast there during the week, Mickey. Anyway, he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to say that it's a big night for the Niners. McCaffrey for the MVP. Into the American football, Mickey?
Not a bit, but Paddy does like a bit of the American football. Probably knows more about American football than he does about fantasy football. But we shouldn't be getting digs at PS, in fairness.
No, it's the other ham that's winning. The lad that does the car tour, I called him a ham.
That's what we used to call him. That used to be one of his nicknames.
You used to call him a ham, did you?
Yeah, that used to be one of his nicknames. So, what was it he came out with that Arsenal were going to get hammered this weekend by after celebrating their massive win against Liverpool, that they were going to get hammered?
I think
he says
he wouldn't be at all surprised. And, there was some celebrations after the Liverpool Burnley game. I'm not sure, did you see it on Saturday? But Jesus, it savage 3 points for them against the mighty Burnley, who are destined for the championship. But big celebrations afterwards, fully entitled to, of course. But it seemed to be an issue last week, but they were on the receiving end of it, you know.
But I'd agree with him on that Arsenal shouldn't be celebrating a win against Liverpool. You know, who are they? Like, you shouldn't be celebrating a big win against Liverpool. You should just walk off the field and just go, yeah, sure. They're useless anyway.
Like they did against West Ham, you know, this afternoon. So anyway, we'll see. We'll know more in a few weeks' time. Navin O'Matney's are in, and they said the NOM bar is open before and after the Loud game next week. See you there. That's great news, Mickey.
Well, the Navin O'Matney's bar back open. That's brilliant. It'll be really interesting to see what happens there now. Like, absolutely delighted to hear that. Didn't know that it was. I knew that some complications. I knew that there was a couple of lads that were trying to get it back open and whatever, and there was some complications. So that's great to hear.
Yeah, brilliant news. Brilliant news. That is it from Insta this week, Mickey.
Excellent. What a way to leave it on a bar opening in Navan, which is fantastic. And it'll be great to see that opening for the Loud game next weekend. I don't know. What day is that meet game? Saturday, Sunday? 2 p.m. I don't know if I'll get back in time for it, but if not, I'll be listening to it on the way back up the road. I might have a little bit of a head in me because Cavan are playing Cork on Saturday at 4 p.m. So we have to go down, obviously, to commentate on that game for the radio. But you couldn't drive that far down and come straight back up, did you?
No, I was there last year. It's great crack. It is great crack. And
will you send
that Balnabraki pub?
That's what I was going to say. Send me on the where to go on whatever. Would I be allowed to bring Cavan men in there, though?
I don't know that, actually. You might have to leave them. You might have to leave them somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't mind going to a pub on my own at all.
Particularly a good one like this. Yeah. That has great time for me, people. Home from home. Absolutely. Enjoy it.
Definitely. Well, look, we'll have a full... It'll be a packed podcast next week because the hurlers won't be out next weekend, but the Camogues, ladies footballers and the men will all be out next weekend. So we'll have plenty to talk about. The hurlers have a break then they're away to Kerry and Austin Stark Park. So best of luck to the Camogues, Mead men and the Mead ladies all taken to the field next weekend. And of course, to all the club players who are back on the field like calves who've been locked up for the whole winter. The boys will be back out on the fields, running around in the grass, buck leaping in the whole lot, and doing themselves injuries. And there might even be a few points taken on the weekend then as well. Look, best luck to everybody involved in the football next weekend. That's it for this episode of Your We Are Meat podcast. Remember, We Are Meat. Bye. Out and more.